In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hatch.
But now I have.
Okay.
Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast that has commandeered the next door neighbor's house to record. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 81.
81, and it probably sounds different. Possibly sounds shitty. Possibly sounds echoey, because we're in a house with that's tidy.
And has walls that are, things are bouncing off the walls.
The thing about clutter is there's a certain amount of soundproofing involved. But for those of you who are concerned about the sound level here, let me tell you two things. One, it's only going to be for this episode. And two, it may get worse. Because in approximately 5 minutes, a parade is going to start just down the street. And I don't know how good the soundproofing is in this house, so this will be fun.
Well, but usually we're recording right next to your window.
That's true. It definitely would have been an issue there.
Yeah.
But today, who knows? It could be fun.
We're not that close to any windows, and we're not close to too many windows facing the street, so.
The neighbors are not home, and initially we thought we were going to have to record multiple episodes because I was going to be somewhere next Thursday. It's not going to happen now. But prior to that, I got permission to use their house while they were not here to record this so that the double episode wouldn't mean that the producer had to be quiet all night in her own home. And I decided I'd still be nice, even though we're just doing the one episode. So here we are.
Here we are.
So yeah, that's that thing. So... William?
Yes?
How has your week been?
It's been okay. Been working on that project.
Good.
Making some progress. Boy, it's hard. You know,
progress?
Yeah, when you're writing a story based on an alternate history, it's, boy, man, there's just a lot of things to think about. Well, or there should be. You know, if you're going to do it right, you have to think about a lot of things.
Yes, yes.
You can't just start writing like something. I mean, in my story, everything changes around 1831. So I have to be familiar with a lot of things going on in the entire world in 1831. Their sirens are...
The siren is hopefully not an emergency. It's hopefully the precursor to... Well, I don't know.
No, I think it's probably an emergency. That's too bad. Okay. But so I have to know what... And the story is eventually going to be one where, you know, the character is going other places on the planet and to other planets. So I kind of have to have an idea of what's going on in the world in 1831 and how certain things evolve in various countries across the planet and who the key players are going to be and understanding certain historical figures. Because the way I want to do it is I don't want my alternate... The way my story works, I have to have a fictional character, you know, a protagonist. But I want everybody else who is a key player in the in this alternate history to be an actual person in history.
Yeah.
So I have to, and I also don't want to make anything up about those people that doesn't relate to my protagonist. For example, if this actual historical figure didn't ever know this historical figure, I'm not going to have them know each other in my story unless I have a way for my protagonist to introduce them, if that makes sense somehow.
That's going to get really annoying. But no, this is a concept that you have to deal with. Well, anytime you're writing anything on epic scale, where there's going to be a lot of people and a lot of time passage and things like that, you have it's a lot more work than other types of writing. When it becomes historical, there's that much more research involved. Mm-hmm. When it becomes alternate historical, there's that much more if you're doing it right.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're doing, you know, the invention of lying bullshit where you're like, I'm going to change one thing and pretend like it had no ramifications otherwise. Everything is exactly the same except for this one giant aspect is different. Then it's not that tough.
No. Well.
But if you want to actually do an alternate history and say, now, what would that change have wrought? Then it takes for fucking ever. Well, I would imagine, because I'm never crazy enough to attempt that.
It is difficult. Now, the saving grace here is that the story is some of it takes place in 1831 only for a very short period of time. Then we're in 2031, but we're in a different 2031 than our 2031 is going to be. So
you don't know that. You don't know what our 2031 is going to be like. It could end up being exactly like it is in your story.
Highly doubtful. But so I don't have to take. I don't have to have people impersonate historical figures in my story or anything like that. I just have to have an explanation for how this 2031 came to be.
Yes.
And it has to be something that's plausible, and it has to be something that relates to my protagonist 100 years earlier, and so on and so forth. And after that, it should be pretty easy to put this story together.
And now you've cursed yourself.
I never curse me. I only curse other people.
That is true.
But I wanted to ask, before we get on to your week, are you going to watch Elementary tonight?
We're recording it. I'm not going to watch it tonight. But yeah, I'm checking it out. Have already seen and given up on Revolution.
Yes, you told me that.
But here's the thing. I did tell you that. Did I tell you that on here?
I think so.
No, I couldn't have.
Well, I thought you did.
I told you I was planning to give up on it, but we were going to watch the pilot. Oh. Well, did I tell you how the producer has not given up on it?
Yes. I'm quite certain of it.
Hmm.
Are you sure? This isn't going to be like that Simpsons episode.
Did your brother show you a video of me explaining?
No. No, I think you told me you'd already watched it and gave up on it.
And that
the producer was going to keep watching it.
Why?
You didn't tell me why she was going to keep watching
it. Then I don't think I told you. I think you're thinking of some other show that I've given up on that she's going to keep watching. There's quite a few of them.
No, I think it was this one.
No spoilers, just in case somebody's crazy enough to have this on their DVR. In the last, 30 seconds of the pilot, they have a major twist that is there intentionally for everybody to go, ooh, and think it's going to be like Lost or something, and to sucker you in. The producer was with me with, it's bad, we're stopping, until that twist, and she's like, now I gotta see what's... And I'm like, you know, they're not gonna touch on that at all, and when they do, it's gonna be really stupid, and they purposely put it there just for people like you. But now she found out she may be taking it for the team, so now she's even more convinced. It's a thing amongst my circle of friends, we call taking for the team, when one household, or in some cases one person, is the only one watching a show, because the rest of us know it's horrible. It was referred to as taking one for the team, and it is a mark of pride, which is totally sullied if anybody else is involved. So, you can be watching a crappy show and you're taking one for the team. If you find out one other person is doing it, then you're just watching a crappy show for no reason. So, Trish may be into this one because she's taking it for the team, but it was really awful.
Well, I watched it and...
Well, then you know the twist I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I watched it after you watched it. I'm certain of it. And maybe you didn't tell me anything about it because you knew I hadn't watched it yet.
Maybe. But so you know what twist I'm talking about. And I'm like, that's...
I can actually barely remember it.
Going to be stupid.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I'm going to keep watching it either. But
also, 5 minutes in, referring to the lead as Katniss.
Yeah.
Which apparently me and the entire internet, because she's freaking Katniss.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of interested in seeing Elementary.
I'm willing to give it a shot. I like the people involved. I like the subject matter.
So, what's the lead actor's name?
Johnny Lee Miller.
Okay. He was in a stage production with the fellow that plays Sherlock on the BBC.
I know their friend. Benedict Cumberbatch and Johnny Lee Miller are friends, at least showbiz friends.
Oh, well, they did a stage production. It was sort of a two-man, I think it was just them, play and an interaction between Victor Frankenstein and the creature.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they swapped which character they played.
Oh, you or somebody told me about this.
Yeah, so you might go one night and either one of you know, and then you go the next night it's the other guy playing. So I don't know how long they did that. I thought that they came to Iowa City and they were doing it, but I didn't go watch it. But I like that guy. I liked him in Eli Stone. I thought Eli Stone was a good show, but it got canceled.
Johnny Miller is very good, and Benedict Cumberbatch.
But I didn't know he was British because
he very frequently doesn't do. Yeah, he very frequently takes on an American accent.
Well,
and
Eli Stone he did, which makes sense. But but he was in Aeon Flux
and exactly,
had an American accent in that.
Yes,
and I'm why? Because the guy who played his brother, well, maybe he's not British, and I don't remember.
No, it wasn't his brother Clive Owen.
Maybe.
He is British.
Okay, I don't know.
it's weird. I don't know. It's why did James Marsden put on an English accent for Torchwood? I don't even know. But sometimes they just do it. It's a director thing,
I guess.
Well, but yeah, no, I didn't know he was British until fairly recently.
How was your week?
Not too bad. Well, actually pretty bad. It's been very busy. Very busy at work. Very busy at work. And last night, saw a movie.
What'd you see?
Not in the theater. We were gonna go see, the Bijou was doing a early screening of Perfect Pitch, which the producer wanted to see because the trailer amused her. It's basically, I wasn't either until this point. It's basically, you're familiar with the film Bring It On? About cheerleading?
No, but I think I know what you're talking about, yeah.
It's like that for high school a cappella groups.
Oh.
Sort of Glee the movie. I was not looking forward to it, but it's been a tough week, and I'm like, I'm not going to have to think during this, so it'll be fine. We found out it was a weird thing. Tickets were handed out earlier to students, and we really probably couldn't get in and all this stuff. So we went home, and we looked at the on-demand thing, and found out Cabin in the Woods is finally on demand.
Oh.
And everybody's been telling me I have to see Cabin in the Woods.
Have to see it.
Have to see it. Because it's awesome.
Really?
But they won't tell me why.
Huh.
They say, you need to not know what's going on with this movie before you see it.
Joss Whedon, though, right?
Joss Whedon. And trailers I've seen. It's a horror movie. Looks like a scary movie.
I guess.
I like those, but I can't see them in the theater.
Why?
Because I get scared.
You get scared.
Yeah, especially the whole, like, surprise jump out at you things tend to bother me in general. When it's on a giant screen with surround sound, hate it. Oh. I would just spend the whole movie tense and it would suck.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, so I was like, but everyone's like, you guys, and I'm like, but it's a scary movie. And they're like, well, sort of not, I can't tell you, but I think you'll be okay. So I'm like, okay, when it comes out, you know, on video, we'll see it. And it was on thing. And so we watched it. Pretty awesome.
Was it?
You should see it.
Well, I plan to see it, but I...
Not going to tell you. Don't find out things. Oh. I will say this for people in general. It is rated R. It is meant to be rated R. It is still fairly bloody and gory. Whether or not it is a horror movie... I still think it's a horror movie, but it's more than a horror movie. But it is still, if you're not into violent blood and gore, just full stop. If that kind of thing puts you off a movie, don't do this. I wouldn't recommend this movie to my parents. But it's an awesome movie.
Okay.
Its charm is in its unexpectedness, though. So, like, it's awesome. I don't know that I'll ever need to see it again. Mm. But it's very cool. I want to talk with you about it, but I don't think we can ever talk about it on the air.
Well, we can talk about it some other time.
Yeah, but I totally do want to talk with you about it.
All right, we'll have to see it first.
Yeah. As a filmmaker, I'll be very curious what you think.
Okay.
But yeah, not much else happened in my weekend. My week.
Not mine either. Just working, trying to get some headway on this project.
I'm still walking. It's still killing me.
Are you extending your time?
I can't yet. Oh. It's still killing me. But I haven't missed a weekday yet. I have, for now, given up the fight on quitting the diet soda.
So you're drinking diet soda?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of it. Yeah, I think it was too much. Well, I think I kind of broke the rule about changing one behavior at a time.
Ah, yes.
That's the excuse I'm giving. I don't know how it's true. But all I know is both of these things were hard and something had to give. And I decided actually exercising was probably of more value at this time than hypothetical curbing of certain cravings that I may or may not affect my behavior. So I'm going with that now. Once I've got that down, I will probably attempt it again. But we shall see.
Well, I hope the walking thing starts to work out for you, because I do think exercise is very important.
I hope it does. I know so far it's really playing havoc on my hamstrings. My massage therapist was like, "Your hamstrings are a mess." And so she gives me an exercise to stretch them out that I do in between my crunches and my walking. I'll spare you the specifics, but suffice it to say, at this point, the stretching of my hamstrings comes from attempting to get into the position by which I start the very simple exercise that is supposed to stretch my hamstrings. Because at this point, I cannot get into the position, which is very simple and straightforward and involves having my legs flat out in front of me while I'm sitting up. Can't do that yet. But trying to get there is stretching my hamstrings.
You know, the thing is, I've always had a hard time with that myself. I don't have... I was diagnosed with something called... They just called it straight back syndrome, and all it means is that you have little or no curvature in your lower back. You know, you've seen spines. They curve at the bottom.
Yeah.
And mine doesn't do that, so...
So many jokes. Mm-hmm. So many jokes here, but I feel like they've all been... I feel like, even though I'm just learning about this, I feel like I've already used these jokes on you before, so I'm not going to do.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about, but...
So, hey, yeah, listeners...
Not very flexible.
Go to our blog at themagicaltalkinghat.com and make jokes about William's straight lower spine. Go ahead. That's themagicaltalkinghat.com. Go to the blog there. Comment on this or anything else. And make jokes at William.
Why not?
Yes. And I mean, it's just... I actually, in the process, I remembered an exercise I used to do for my back. That also happens... I'm not sure it's supposed to stretch my hamstrings, but I think, again, my muscles are in bad enough shape that doing it, I definitely is a pull on my hamstrings. So I'm also doing that. And hopefully that'll help.
Yeah, I think it's really good that you're doing all these things, because there was a time where if I were to talk to you about this kind of thing, you would have told me, "Well, nah, I'm not going to do any of that stuff."
Yeah.
Like you weren't really interested in taking care of back problems or anything like that. In fact, I think once we took this, we were at work and this test was going around in email, a longevity test or something, and you found out that you were going to die when you were 50 something.
And I thought, wow, that's higher than I expected.
Exactly.
I remember that.
And I
was like, I'm going to make it past 45.
I was very concerned, but you didn't seem concerned at all about it.
Well, and keep in mind, I still don't walk up the steps at work. I still take the elevator up the one floor.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is you seemed very unconcerned about it. Like, well, you know, whatever.
I think resigned was more than unconcerned. But it's a combination of age and diabetes.
Yeah.
The diabetes is a huge wake-up call, and I've hit the point, which I've now determined, I think it varies, but it's usually somewhere in your 30s, that you hit the point where you suddenly are paying way more attention to the end of your timeline than the beginning. I'm not saying I'm at the halfway, I'm not saying that I've hit the point where I'm going to live fewer years than I have, but I'm at the point where the concept that I do have a limited number of years left has kicked in, and the idea that I want, that I enjoy being alive and want to continue that as long as I can has kicked in.
I think that happened to me when I was 6.
I believe it.
Oh, I voted.
Because of you and your straight lower spine.
I voted today, too.
Oh, cool.
Well, absentee vote. I didn't.
I mean, I assume you didn't go to the elementary school and say, "Let me in now."
No, you could go to the auditor's office today and
really?
And vote. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Today you could.
When you go to vote, can you change your registration then?
I don't know.
Because I really want to register for an actual party.
Oh.
So that next time I won't get all the damn calls. Because I'm independent and that's a bad idea.
Oh, because you get from both.
Everybody calls. At this point, elections, especially big elections, have been so decisive. Mm. I mean, so sorry, not decisive, divisive.
Yeah.
That if you're registered for a party, they don't bug you. They assume they know how you're going to vote. They're after the independent voters.
Yeah,
and I'm the only one in our house, and I'm sick of it.
I do get stuff from both the Republicans and Democrats. In fact, my absentee ballot was sent to me by the Democrats, but all the ads I get are from the Republicans. That's weird.
Mitt Romney's wife calls me both at home and at work.
Well, you know what? We haven't been getting calls from anybody. Which is weird because, as I said, the Democrats made sure I got an absentee ballot, which is funny since I don't really often vote Democrat. But you'd think if they're sending my absentee ballot that they would... Well, but I'm not registered Democrat, so I don't know. We haven't been getting calls from anybody.
Your phone number must not have ended up on the list. I'm still not how sure how my work phone number did. There's only like two people at work. Their work phone numbers got on there as though we were residential.
No, I haven't been getting any calls. That's interesting. But I've been getting mail from the Republicans, and the absentee ballot thing came from the Democrats.
I'd prefer mail. It's easier to ignore.
Well, the mail is about, you know, it's saying Romney. It's about gun rights.
Mm.
Somehow they must have...
You and your big gun ownership household.
Well, I'm definitely pro-Second Amendment, but I don't know how they would have figured that out. And it all comes to me. It doesn't go to the actual owner of the house. It comes to me.
I am pro-29th Amendment. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but whatever it is, I'm going to die defending it.
Die defending it, huh?
Yeah, not even, like, willing to. I'm definitely going to die defending the 29th Amendment, whatever it is.
Okay.
That's, here on the air now, that is my promise to you, my fellow Americans, and Craig and Stephen.
Keeping in mind that he
and arguably lies. Stu, because he's not technically a citizen yet.
Keeping in mind that he always lies, though.
Uh-uh.
Yes, you do.
98%.
And this is one of the 2% that you don't?
It could be. You don't know. That's what makes me so damn interesting.
I'm an unbeliever.
All right. Hat?
Okay.
I hear big booms in the distance.
Is that the parade?
I think it must be.
I see.
No one in the world has ever said the word parade like that, by the way.
Good. I see flashing lights over there, so...
You see flashing lights?
Well, yeah, you know, because the police cars and the fire.
Yeah, you trucks. Know you're looking at the fridge.
No, I'm looking out that window there.
There's a fence.
Yeah, but you can see the flashing lights of the cars going by. I could watch the parade right through that.
You're here, folks, guys. William is having some sort of stroke.
It's look. You can see right there. Oh, you can't
lights.
See because you don't. You'd have to be over here.
He sees flashing lights, and he can't pronounce the word parade. For those of you at home who can't see this, the left side of his face is now hanging, drooping down sideways.
And my looks have improved. See, you can hear the. Well, never mind. Dear the magical talking hat, which is superior, cats or dogs?
Who's this from?
Kia B.
Kia B. A favorite Kia.
All right, now, you probably have
this is,
a
this
preference.
Is divisive.
But you don't want to say, do you? I mean, you've got cats in your house. I think we know what you think.
I don't dislike dogs, though.
Well, this isn't about whether what you dislike.
Know,
this is about what
I
you
know.
Think is superior.
I know. I want to hear from you first.
You do. Well, well, to begin with, in a general sense, of course, I don't think either cats or dogs are superior. However, in the spirit of, I mean, you know, this is like when someone asks you a question and there's three answers, you can say yes, no, or maybe, and you just answer maybe all the time. That, you know, you're kind of cheating.
That is what I hate about you.
Somewhere deep in your soul, there is someone that says, hey, I prefer this. And you really need to be honest and say, yeah, this is what I prefer.
Wow, it's getting really loud.
Not that loud. I mean...
Well, we definitely don't have
registered.
A straight line.
It's
yeah,
registered.
I was going to say, it's, the line is fuzzy.
Well, they can probably still hear us, though.
We at the Magical Talking Hat would like to apologize for the parade going by outside.
The parade.
There's no, stop it. There's not a lot we could do about it. And the few things that we could do, we're not willing to do.
Perad.
God. You sound like the gayest Spaniard ever.
Barado.
All right. So, okay. So you're going to take a stand.
Yes. I'm going to take a stand.
On the dog cat issue.
Although, you know, a lot of times when
this is one of the more serious questions I think we've ever
had. A lot of the times when I don't...
How is it still getting louder? They can't be coming down this street.
I don't know. A lot of times when I don't pick a side like Democrat or Republican or whatever, I am taking a stand, but people don't think I am because they feel like, well, there's only these two, William, so if you don't say Republican or Democrat, you're not taking a stand, and that's not fair. So,
are you going to come out in favor of gerbils? Is that what we're doing?
No, but this is a little different. Cats and dogs are admittedly, there's a definite, especially in our culture, there's a definite distinction between these two.
Just to pause.
There's dog people and cat people. I mean, everyone knows
just to
that.
Pause. Your example holds if people talk about your preferred political party. If people are discussing which party do you like better between Democrats and Republicans, I feel that then you really do have the two choices only.
Well, I suppose that's true. Sure. But
because that's a different type of question.
But if I loathe them both the same, then how can
If you do loathe them both equally, do you really loathe them both equally?
Pretty much.
Really?
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I loathe them both, but in unequal measures. In very unequal measure.
Well, a lot of people, I think, let's stick with what Kia B is asking here.
Because I think this question is much more dangerous.
We could go on and on and on and on.
We will.
Because what I was about to say was that I think...
We could go on and on and on of this.
The Republicans are a pretty easy target for hating. I mean, they almost ask for it. But there's a lot of things that are sort of put onto the Republicans that people hate, such as Rush Limbaugh, for example. I don't think of Rush's existence or anything he says as anything that should lead me to have a certain opinion about the Republican Party. If you see what I'm trying to say?
I think I do.
So when it all comes out in the wash, I really can't say that I dislike the Republicans any more than I dislike the Democrats. However, that is saying something. Because
that's absolutely saying something.
I probably dislike the Republicans as much as anybody does. I just happen to dislike the Democrats as much. But anyway, and not any particular Republican or Democrat, so I don't if you're a Republican or Democrat listening, I don't have any problem with you personally. I'm just talking about the parties and most of the politicians.
We are going to get so much hate mail.
Well, I don't have a problem with any particular
Not over
Republican
this.
Or
with whatever opinion you come out with the cat or dog thing. This is way bigger. Like, people, we're going to get death threats. I don't know which side.
Well,
depends on how you come
here's
out
the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Cats, and I'll tell you why. Because, they had that TV program, The World Without People. Have you heard of that program?
I think I did.
Okay, there was
I
a TV,
know I did not see it. But
there was
I think
a TV program called The World Without People, and what it did was it showed you with computer CGI and stuff what process cities and various places would go through. 5 years after, if people just completely disappeared from the planet spontaneously, yes. 5 years after people, 10 years after people, 1,000 years after people, so you got an idea of how long would cities even be around, and it's actually kind of amazing that only
heard that the reactions were very the response was very quick.
Well, yeah, like only a couple thousand years or whatever, and you wouldn't even know there was a city there, kind of thing. It's really bizarre, but anyway, one of the things that happens right away in cities, especially when people disappear, is there's a huge die-off of dogs because most of them are trapped in their houses, for one thing, but they can't take care of themselves, They're bred in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and so a lot of them die off. Cats, however, most of them survive because there are a few breeds of cats. There are a few cats bred to have really flat noses and all this other stuff, but most...
Oh, yeah, there are cat breeds that I'm surprised survive even with humans' help.
Right, but there are a lot of cats that are... they're no different than the cats in the wild who actually still hunt and all that stuff. So,
Twiglet is quite the hunter, and I never realized it until one time we had a mouse in the house, and it was really annoying because he caught it like 3 times and he'd let it go every time because it was no fun otherwise.
Well, that's what cats do.
Now give it to me, and he'd let it go and it'd run off.
No, they play with their food, but on that level of survival once people are gone. I mean, cats are clearly superior. Personally, my personal experience with cats is much more positive than with dogs.
Really?
Yeah.
Because your personal experience with cats is pretty shitty from what I've been able to tell.
Well, why do you say that?
Because you don't seem to like cats.
Well, I don't warm up to pets in general, like in the house. My experience with pets when I was growing up, they lived outside. And that was good because that's where they seemed to like to be. And we had cats and dogs. And the dogs were very annoying. But the cats were, they were fun to watch. They were pleasant, you know, and if you wanted to pet a cat or whatever, it was agreeable to that and it was fine. We had one cat who was especially awesome. She would come in the house and she might sit on your lap or whatever. And then when she was done visiting, she would leave. She didn't eat cat food because she hunted, you know, mice, rats, and baby rabbits. And she was amazing. One time, she would often let us know where her kittens were because it was actually a matter of security because, you know, tomcats, if they found kittens, they would kill them, eat them or whatever. And so she would often show us where the kittens were because, she learned that that was the best way to scare the other the tomcats away. But one time she led us to her kittens, and there was a dead tomcat, like just a few feet away. She killed it.
Nice.
She was amazing. I mean, she wasn't a big cat. She was a little. But boy, she
like
was.
Ezzy's little.
She was something else. So my personal experience with cats and dogs is, well, no, cats pretty much have it over dogs.
Did you happen to notice, when you were in my house for a minute earlier, that there is a large television box kind of horizontal across where, like, the futon is and stuff?
No, I didn't.
It's hard to tell because there's a lot of clutter there. In moving stuff around for the garage sale, we got out the box for the old TV, and that's as far as it's gotten so far. And so it's horizontal, like some sort of table almost up there. Esmeralda likes to get up there now. No one else does. Because we're humans, and it would collapse, and Twiglet just doesn't think that high. And it has become her own little personal mezzanine level. And she loves it up there. In the morning, when I wake up to go walk and everything, she just gets up there and just starts rolling around, and she loves it to death up there. She's going to be so sad when we take that away. Sorry, it was a non sequitur.
But my observation is that on just about every level, unless sentimental. I mean, if you're a sentimental person about dogs, then of course dogs will be superior to you. But on just about every objective measure, it seems to me that cats have it over dogs, hands down.
There is an argument, to play devil's advocate, that dog loyalty is much stronger than cat loyalty.
Well, right, but and I could believe that's true, but what if you don't particularly value loyalty?
Well, I mean, that's true of anything.
In anything.
If they're, this thing has a stronger this, well, I don't value that. Well, then, yeah, I mean, fuck off.
Who really that's cares about that?
There was an interesting short story I heard. It was on one of the Escape Artist podcasts that was a story about after spontaneously one day, animals learned how to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically was dealing with dogs and the fact that that slowly but surely people got rid of their dogs, like abandoned them.
Because
I forget the specific, but just it got uncomfortable when they were then allowed to know the thoughts, like because how you treat a pet versus how you treat a person is very different, and when they could talk, it suddenly became awkward, and so there was sort of weird guilt and issues involved. But what was funny was there was only a passing thing about cats that was basically everybody got rid of their cats almost immediately, and the cats went along with it, because basically when cats talked, you found out that they were just really sociopathic. Like, the intensity with which they just really didn't give a damn about you or anything about you.
Okay, but you see,
was just too great. And so everybody was like, maybe we should call this quits.
Interestingly, that's one of the things I like about cats.
I am not surprised by that.
I mean, one of the things that would annoy me about, that annoyed me about dogs on the farm was, you know, they were very needy and dependent, yes, yes. you know, which I, you know, I didn't.
You have that. Intensely strong ego boundaries.
Well, maybe that's true. But cats, mostly, you know, they were very independent. And you could have affectionate moments with a cat if it wanted to pet or whatever, and that would be fine. But then it would be done, and that's fine. You know, it doesn't have to be this constant attention or whatever. And the dogs, even though they were perfectly, you know, one was a border collie and one was a German shepherd, they surely had the tools in their biology to hunt and things like that, but they didn't do that. And some of the cats didn't either, but a lot of the cats, they hunted and they didn't even like cat food because they preferred hunting. So I just respected that, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that sounds weird, but...
As a personal preference, also prefer cats for totally different reasons than you. Let me say beforehand, I like dogs very much. Had a dog growing up. Love playing with dogs when I see dogs. Largely, I would say the specific reason we don't have one is it is a great deal more effort involved. You got to take them outside. You have to ensure they get exercise. You can't. With our cats, if we go away for a long weekend, we leave them plenty of food and water, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even, like, they handle themselves. With dogs, it is much more complicated. That is probably the specific reason. I also really appreciate that. That is one aspect why I prefer cats. Aesthetically, I do like cats. I mean, I don't think this is a reason for my choice of pet, but I just think feline traits are cooler looking than canine traits.
I'd have to go along with that too.
In a broader sort of, I don't know, archetypical sense, I have never been into pack mentality.
Well, I can relate to that too.
And that's an issue, which is also a thing. Why I play all sorts of role-playing games and stuff like that, including all these weird supernatural ones. Never been into playing werewolf because you've always got that pack stuff. We're reading supernatural things about the werewolves. Don't ever give a damn about the werewolves because they always have this pack thing. And I'm like, I don't like it. I don't care about it. It doesn't make sense to me. I guess I have pretty well-defined ego boundaries in that sense also. And just on a very personal level, I feel like cats are snugglier and fuzzier, and I don't know, I'm just way more into it.
Well, you know, that is another thing, is that most of the dogs I've experienced, if you're going to be affectionate with them, they're very hyper about it.
Mm.
And a cat can be very relaxed in that moment, which is a lot more enjoyable.
Some dogs can be as well.
Which, I'm sure that's true. And for the record, I don't dislike dogs. We had dogs growing up, and I was grateful for that experience, and I liked our dogs a lot. And I was very sad when they passed away and all that stuff. But maybe I'm not a very good judge because, as I already said, I'm not a person who likes to have pets in the house.
Yeah.
That's just not the way it was growing up, so... Most people wouldn't think I even have a very good experience with cats or dogs because they were outside and I interacted with them fairly rarely, and I didn't have one in the house, so that's not the same experience. So, and I appreciate that. That might be true, actually. But
also, all other things being equal, cats tend to live longer, so you have greater time in between mourning your damn pets. I do like that. I'm totally into dogs too.
But don't you think a lot of our listeners are... I don't know if I'm a cat person. I don't know what a cat person is.
Yeah, you're not a nothing. You're a nothing person.
Yeah, that's kind of...
I am a cat person. I am also maybe half a dog person. The producer is a little bit more of a dog person. She used to bug me for getting a dog, and I'm like, no, we can't get a dog. She's like, please, please. And then one day I finally figured out what was going on, and I said, okay, baby, you can get a dog. Go for it. We'll go this weekend if you want. And suddenly she's like, oh, but wait, we don't have a fence around that. And I realized that she was relying on me to say no, so she didn't have to worry about all the reasons why. So from now on, I've always said, we can get a dog. You say the word, we'll go do it.
You know, there's an interesting coincidence here in this question, because just today, I was looking out the window to our backyard.
And there was a dead dog.
No, there was a cat.
Oh, was it dead?
No, this cat comes and goes. It's a black cat with white paws. And for the first time ever in my life, I thought, maybe it'd be nice to have a cat. It passed.
Do you know why this is?
Well...
That's semi-rhetorical. I think I know why this is, but do you know why this is?
Well, I'll tell you why I think it is, and you can tell
all
me.
All right, I'll tell you why you're wrong.
Why I'm wrong?
I'm assuming.
Oh, okay. Well, for one thing, I see this cat come and go, and I always like seeing it. Not that I would want it living in the house.
But black with white socks is pretty cute.
Yeah, cute, and I like the fact that it looks like it knows what it's doing out there, and I respect that kind of cat a lot. The house is a little more empty now than it was.
And we'll get more so in a few more years.
And the owner of the house owned a cat in her youth and was very attached to it, and I think has often wished she...
You don't have any allergies, right?
No.
And maybe when the last kid takes off.
And the goddaughter, I think, would like one. So I think I was thinking, you know, maybe this would be... And it would be a big change to the household that might... You know, our household's been going through a lot of drama lately. But it's been calming down and it's kind of winding down in a way. And it might be one of those things that... Well, there was the pre-cat household where there was a lot of drama and stuff. And now there's the post-cat household.
And it becomes a milestone, a commemoration almost.
Yeah. Or even a celebration in a way. The things that we went through a rough patch and now things are coming down. So, I mean, you know, all that stuff coming together, I think I entertained the thought for just a second, and then, of course, I let it go right away because I remembered all the reasons why I never want a cat in the house. But I did think that just today, and here we draw this card. Interesting coincidence. Well, now, why do you think
Holy
I was thinking
shit,
it?
It's another fucking day. It's the best day ever again. I may have to link that video again to this one. I'm a stupid fucking cat, and I don't know shit, and I don't know what it is to be sad. I love that video. I haven't watched that in a long time.
So why do you think I was thinking?
Because you have now spent like a year and a half every week coming over to my house, and Ezzy, and to a lesser degree Twiglet, work their cuteness on you. You are developing experience, whether you like it or not, with cats being inside the house.
That's true.
In my house. And I think it's slowly eroding at you a bit at a time.
That could be. I mean,
because they're pretty stinking adorable.
That's plausible. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not so much an adorable factor. It's just a...
Yeah, you say that, but it's adorable. It's so cute. And they're real easy to take care of.
Well, I also was thinking, you know...
Now I'm shitting in a box because I don't give a fuck. And the guy throws it out for me.
I was also thinking about, you know, you go to those old bookstores and there's cats in the bookstores and stuff. And something about that seems really cool, you know. I don't know.
No, I think I'll lie down here. Because I got no fucking bills to pay. Sometimes I look out windows because I'm stupid as hell. Holy Christ, it's a piece of paper. I was doing that the other night. I'm going to bed. I'm trying to sleep. And Twiglet comes in because he usually sleeps with me. And Ezzy comes in and she's jumping around the bed like she's attacking something. And finally she runs out of the room. I was like, could there really be something? Like, could there be a mouse or something in the bed? And I was like, because Twiglet was looking around too. And I was like, and finally I was like, no, there isn't. Because if there was, she would have stuck around and she would still be messing with it. But she will do that. She will get herself into a frenzy over nothing and eventually, like, overexcite herself so she'll have to leave the area, not being aware that she takes herself with herself. It's weird.
Now, see, these are the kind of stories that make me say, yeah, I don't want a cat.
It's hilarious.
You know, a lot of these videos on the internet with cats and stuff, I don't get it. I mean, I get what other people are saying, but it doesn't really do anything for me. Because the cats I liked growing up were pretty calm, you know. They were pretty cool. They didn't make a fuss. I liked that. That coolness that, you know, people usually associate with cats. That's what I liked.
Ezzy does not have that.
The hyper thing, not so much. Now, when they were kittens, that was fun and interesting, but after a certain age, you know, kind of expect they're going to grow out of it.
Twiglet's pretty cool when he feels
Twiglet like is pretty cool.
Twiglet is the cat version of me. Very much all around.
Well, except he's cool.
But it's mostly fake cool.
Oh.
And he's very calm, except when he doesn't feel like it. And then sometimes he can get really childish. And pretty much all he ever says is, meh, whether he's happy or sad or angry. So you can't really tell. And he likes to cultivate this attitude of not giving a damn. But he's really very needy and insecure. And he's very fat and he's very lazy. So he's my cat. He's my cat. He's my boy.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So it works out well.
So what kind of person do you think would answer this question, dogs?
I don't know. I'm sure we've got listeners, though. Dog people, go to the blog. Tell us all about your dogs. And don't get all defensive. We like dogs.
Yeah.
We just had to pick a preference because Kia made us. So blame Kia.
Yeah, blame her.
But I know a lot of dog people. I will say this.
Wrong. We do, but...
In my experience, dog people tend to be more militant about it than cat people.
What do you mean? Oh, about the fact that they're a dog person?
Yes, and anti the other way. I seem to run into a lot more dog people who are like, I'm a dog person, fuck cats, than I do people who are like, I'm into cats, screw dogs. I don't see that as often.
Huh. Yeah, I really don't know.
And as a general trend in my experience, your dog person may vary, void where prohibited.
Here's the thing, though, about dog people in general,
they're all jerks.
I'm not making any judgments here, but when it's 23 below wind chill,
yes,
and I'm driving down the road, and I see somebody walking their dog, and, you know, with a plastic bag around their hand, picking up their steaming pile of whatever.
You know, I love how you say whatever as though you're not sure what it is.
That's when I have to ask myself, who here really is the master?
No,
you know what I'm saying?
I think you're hitting on a thing here. Ties in what I said, more work for a dog, more commitment, I think, for a dog, and therefore people develop more of a sense of connection to it. People think it's a bigger deal because they sacrifice more for their dogs.
Well, and maybe that's true. But I mean that is commitment, I'll tell you that. When you're walking 23 below and you're picking up this animal's poop. I mean, that is commitment for sure.
My cats shit in a box and I clean it out every week.
Something about that just isn't as impressive.
It's not, but it's still...
From a commitment
standpoint. I'm still doing what they want me. I mean, they're still running the place. But you're right. No, it is a greater commitment. A greater
sacrifice. People joke about that where cats... You know the joke where the dog thinks, wow, these people put me in a house and they feed me. They must be gods.
Yeah.
And the cat thinks, wow, these people put me in a house and they feed me. I must be a god.
Yes.
And that's, a lot of people joke about that, but from my perspective, the dog is so much more demanding and gets the humans to do so many more things, including really kind of disgusting things.
But I don't think
it seems like the dog's really running things.
Because I think the dog would be perfectly fine to just crap in the living room.
No, that's true. Or for you to just leave it on the sidewalk or in the yard, wherever it was.
It's more like the dog is like a special needs child versus a cat.
Oh, man.
I know.
Unbelievable.
I know. It was in my head, and I was like,
wow.
A significant portion. People who don't even listen to the podcast will just magically know to hate me from that, but I couldn't help myself.
Someone who doesn't even know you hates you now.
Yes. For no reason. Somebody's just going to slap me at work tomorrow, and I'm going to be like, what's that for? Like, I don't know. I was offended by something.
But Hard Hat number one has a cat, as far as I know, at least last I knew.
He did, Captain Jack.
I don't know if Blood Sparrow has a pet of any kind.
I don't either.
Is she mad at us?
Why?
When we had that question and you missed the reference to speed, or I did.
Here's the thing you have to remember. Blood Sparrow has done this shit before.
Oh, you're blaming her now.
No, I'm just saying... Blood Sparrow sends us jokes that are references. You don't get them because you live in a fucking hole. I don't get them because I'm not that bright.
You know, you really shouldn't talk like that about my hole.
And I mean, metaphorically. Oh. I mean, you're not aware of the world, therefore you don't get them. I don't get them just because I'm not that bright. And she gets mad. If you'll recall, who's that knocking at the door?
Okay.
Or who's that at the door?
I remember that.
Turned out to be, it was from her, and it turned out to be a Craig Ferguson reference that we missed, and instead we had the slasher with the hook. Still love that. That was awesome.
No, but that's all fine, but is she mad? Because I couldn't really tell.
I think she was mad at the moment. I think she, I don't think it sticks. I don't know. We're also hot on the heels of me giving her super serious shit about her context issues. But she's doing the context now, so it's fine. I don't know. If listeners out there, if you think Blood Sparrow is mad.
Angry, comment, not mad, like crazy.
Either
angry.
One. I'm whatever. Comment on the blog at themagicaltalkinghat.com.
If
go there. Blood we Sparrow get a lot of comments from people, including Blood Sparrow. It's fun to check out.
If you're mad, my sincere apologies.
And if you're mad, suck it up, Tinkerbell, and write another question to the hat. And the rest of you should also write the hat. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Once again, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Write in a topic, a question, whatever. Really soon, theoretically, I'm thinking more and more about getting a separate email that's going to be for feedback that's not question-related. Because it comes up every once in a while where people want to tell us stuff. They don't want to tell us on the blog, and they don't want it to be a question for the hat. And it gets complicated for them. Some of them know personal emails of mine, and then that works, but some of them don't. And, well, like somebody who wanted to volunteer to help you with your project. And luckily they knew my email, but what if there's somebody else who didn't know my email? So I'm thinking of doing that, but that would mean like an eighth email address I have to keep track of, because the hat won't monitor that one, because it's not that magical.
No.
So
limits to its magic.
Yes.
I hope Kia doesn't get mad that we told everybody to blame her.
Or that I called dogs special needs children.
Yeah.
I kind of hope she doesn't get mad at that either.
Shut up. What's wrong with you?
God. So many things. We better hurry if we're going to get another question.
Okay.
We spent a lot of time on that. So, the answer is, we don't want to diss anybody but cats.
Flashing lights again. Flashing lights. See, the police cars are going by now.
I think that's the end of the parade.
I hope so, because I don't...
There's going to be a lot
of traffic on the way home.
This one is from Azure Talon.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think he listens anymore, though.
Aww.
But we'll see.
Is it because you insulted him so much?
No, he was into that.
Oh.
We talked about that. He loved being the villain of the
Well, then
podcast.
Why did he stop listening? Because you insulted his
wife?
Because
he's a lazy asshole. I don't know. He got married eventually. I didn't insult Kim. I thought Kim was awesome. I mean, that's not her name, but I still thought I was awesome. I love Kim. Maybe Kim still listens. Hi, Kim. says, dear vocal extensions of the magical talking hat.
Now, see, here's the thing about Azure Talon. I like the things he calls us. Like, Hat Thralls is my favorite of all time. But I like that, too.
Hat Thralls was good. This is not
I think
bad.
That's really cool.
It's a lot for the hat to write out.
No, I know, but it's still fun.
Why is just email named after nasty canned meat?
You mean spam?
Spam.
Well, I don't know how email you don't want started. I mean, because...
Mail you don't want was always called
junk mail.
Junk
mail, always called that, yeah.
Was never called spam.
Well, now spam isn't just mail you don't want. It's like a thing you can do to somebody.
You can spam somebody, yeah.
And technically it's still email you don't want, but it's not like a advertisement or something. It's just you're filling up the person's inbox. So, you know, it's...
But where does it come... I can sort of see that as an organic growth from the original idea of a spam email. But where does that come from?
You know, I really don't know.
The only thing, and I'm making this up completely, So you know it's true. Mm. The idea... basically, you extend the meat metaphor to all of email. And so most email is meat. That is food that you want to eat. It has some nutritional value, and it tastes good to you, and you eat it. And then there is this byproduct, this thing that is still technically meat, but it's nasty. It's not real food, and nobody really wants it. But it's there, and there's a lot of it, and it's really easy to get.
Well, that's interesting.
It's a weak metaphor, but I got another one. Give me a better one. Well, it's probably like some dude who hated spam who happened to be rich and powerful, and like he...
I have a feeling it's connected to somehow to Monty Python and their...
Spam.
Often references to spam.
Could be that, or it could be Hawaii. Hawaii is one of the few places that actually really likes spam.
You know, I suppose it's possible it actually stands for something, like some kind of acronym or something, but I doubt it.
That seems weird. You know, so do you actually access Gmail through the web interface?
What do you mean?
Do you actually open up a web browser to check Gmail?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So have you seen that when you go to the spam folder up along the top, it may not still have, but it used to have spam recipes?
No.
It would have, up along the top, when you go to the spam folder, it would have links to different recipes involving spam.
I'm just trying to remember when I even first heard it called that. Because, of course, you know, I heard it called that long before you had anything like a spam folder.
Yeah.
And for a long time, it was called junk mail by a lot of people, just like regular mail was called. But a few people were calling it spam, and I don't know why they were calling it that or who was calling it that. And before long, that's what everybody called it. So, I mean, I remember when it was called, it was just called junk mail.
Well, and you'll still run into some email providers that have a junk folder. But I run into a lot now that have a folder that's actually called spam, which is where all the filtered stuff goes. I mean, it is definitely... I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's in the OED now as a definition. Hell, Doe and My Bad are in the OED, so... Also in the OED, apparently infer and imply mean the same thing in there, which really pisses me off.
When did that happen?
Because it's a usage dictionary.
So when people interchange them, they say, well, I guess they mean the same thing now.
As far... The dictionary is always how it's currently used. And they determined that in society, people do it enough to be synonymous.
Oh, that's too bad.
Ah, pissed me off. I grammar Nazi'd myself today. I sent something... I was chatting with somebody, and I used the word it's. And I was using it in a possessive sense. And I put an apostrophe in there. Hmm. And as soon as I finished typing it, I looked at it and I typed to them, I'm sorry. I should have said this. And I felt a little weird about it, but I also felt proud that I caught it before they could tell me.
Yeah, I do that to myself quite often. Because even though I know the differences between all of the yours, sometimes I'm typing fast. I do but I always have to correct myself because I can't stand it when I make a mistake.
That's like the classic one, I think.
Yeah, and it's just easy to do when you're typing fast.
Yeah. I've never understood there, and there. I've never understood why that one... Like, to me, that never gets messed up.
I don't know.
And my personal one, which that one up too. Is pure bloody-mindedness, because I know it can be difficult, but it still pisses me off, is affect and effect. That's like my pet cause.
Well, and you and I have talked about that, and I'm...
I think we've talked about it on here.
Yeah, we have, and I don't even remember what you said.
See? You're part of the problem.
I am part of the problem. But, of course, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Yeah, what the hell are we talking about? Spam. 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 Spam.
See, now I'm going to really want to know where that came from. But...
Well, you research it and come back and tell us next week. Share with the class.
I'm going to say something to sort of because something in my memory is being triggered here, but I think it might be complete bunk.
Lay it on us.
I think I remember there was a time where people would email something to people, you know, like to a friend or whatever, and like it might be a WAV file or something, and you'd open it up and it would just say spam. And it was kind of a joke. It was kind of like the original Rickroll.
I was going to say it's a proto Rickroll.
Yeah. And that might have something to do with it.
Here's the thing.
Something, I remember that. I remember opening emails and then the hearing from Monty Python, someone saying spam or whatever. It's like, oh, you know, they got me or whatever. I seem to remember that happening, but I don't know if that has anything to do with it or if I just dreamed it or what.
Here's the thing. I think you made that up. I think you're crazy, but I kind of remember it now, too. So I think you used witchcraft on me. And now I'm sharing your illusion.
If I remember, which I probably won't, I'll look it up and we'll see, but I really would like to know that, too.
Now, just to make a point here, as your talent says, why is just email named after Nasty Can Meat? The question seems to imply that Azure Talon feels more things should have this used. Things should be labeled that way for things that you dislike.
I have heard people call junk mail that, regular junk mail. People seem to be calling it that now.
What about, can we broaden this? Can you have spam foods that are not actual spam? Filler, crappy foods.
I suppose.
Like the bread they bring you at the restaurant that you're just
haven't you heard someone say, you know, this is the spam of whatever.
I have, in fact, heard that. Yeah. I think you're onto something here.
This car is the spam of automobiles or something like that.
Could you have spam friends?
I don't know what that would mean, but
I don't
something
really
about that's
like
really
this person, but they are relatively inexpensive, whether that be emotionally or whatever. and, you know, they provide the basics of what are needed for a friendship. No frills or anything. It's kind of disgusting, but you can live on it.
Disgusting? You're talking about me, aren't you?
It's the basic survival rations of friendship. Yes, our friendship is very much a spam-based friendship.
Okay.
Like, I'm surviving on you until I can make it back to civilization and get a better quality of friend. But in the meantime, you keep me from dying.
I suppose that's good in a way.
If you can call this living.
Well, I guess I'd rather be spam than, I don't know, dog food or Alpo or whatever.
Oh, I can't afford that. I can't afford Alpo friends.
Just spam friends.
It's way more expensive.
Yeah.
Again, metaphorically speaking, I can't put the energy into forging friendships that are as good as eating dog food. That's on me.
I'll bet we're out of time.
We're a little bit over, yeah.
Well, thank you, Kia B. Please don't be mad. And Azure Talon.
Yes. And please write the hat with more questions, because we always need more, or else we're not going to have much of a show. Not that we have much of a show now, but it'll be even less. So write the hat at themagicaldoggyhat@gmail.com and get on the blog and tell us what we did wrong and what you like. And I forget something. We were going to insult William. Do that. Get on the blog and insult William in general. themagicaldoggyhat.com. So that's it. And we will talk to you guys next week.
I was going to say, don't rain on our parade. How come you don't like that?
How are you going to spell that? That might have to be the episode title.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to go in the basement and jump on a trampoline?
No.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.